April 29th, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, Twitter, Apple Podcast, and Twitch. And if you're on Apple Podcast, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And if you're, and you could also listen to us on your smart speaker. Also, go to our website, thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or you could download our app, The Sportscast for iOS. Last night was the NFL Draft, 2022 NFL Draft, first round. It was, some of it was predictable, some of it was unpredictable. A couple surprises. Also, some trades happening throughout the, not throughout the night, just two big ones. And join us to rehash this, Jeff Favre from Pennsylvania. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you, Santiago. Appreciate you having me.
So, Jeff, your Chiefs, they got two picks in the first round. What were your thoughts overall?
Yeah, I mean, two positions in need. And McDuffie, most people would say, is the third best corner in the draft. So that was a good move. I mean, he didn't give up a touchdown all last year, so he has some limitations physically. Great athlete, little undersized, but I think he was well worth where they took him. And then, you know, George Karlaftis with him, you know, I always say when games are being played, you know, there's a group of guys that you really think are going to get drafted high, and then the combine comes around and maybe their athletic numbers aren't as stellar and it hurts them. With Karlaftis, it felt as though, and he is still relatively athletic. He's a pretty athletic dude, but he's not super bendy or super agile. And that seemed to hurt him. But where the Chiefs took him, taking him at the end of the first round, you know, I think he has potential to be a good player. So I like what they did. They filled two of their biggest needs. Now they still, I think they still have to take another corner or maybe a safety and another pass rusher here on day two or three. But it was a good start, and I think they got really good value out of the guys they took.
As Jeff mentioned, they got at the 21st pick, Trent McDuffie, a cornerback from Washington, Pac-12 Huskies, and at number 30, George Karlaftis, a defensive end from Purdue, Big Ten, two from the two big conferences of college football. A lot of speculation was the Chiefs trading up for a wide receiver to replace a big hole, Tyreek Hill, and possibly get one of the wide receivers. Jeff, why don't you think, what happened with the Chiefs last night on that situation? Of course, that was my strategy. Might have been not yours with the Chiefs, but why did the Chiefs take this path?
I don't think it was ever going to happen. I think a lot, you know, around draft time, you always hear a lot of lies and just guys putting out bad information. I think from what I can gather, the Chiefs knew that, you know, you trade Tyreek Hill, so everybody's going to assume that you're going to trade up for a wide receiver. I don't know that that was ever the play that they were really truly looking at. And if you do look at it, there's still some guys on the board that they could take. I don't think any receiver in this class was worth mortgaging the farm for, you know, and really putting all your picks together or a bunch of picks to move up. So not to say some of these guys won't have nice careers. I'm not, you know, trying to downplay them, but at the same time, you know, part of the reason the Chiefs traded Tyreek Hill is because they have a top heavy roster. So they need to hit on some picks here and, you know, have some rookie contracts on the book. So if you start trading away a bunch of picks to get one guy, then it becomes counterproductive.
Something to definitely look at. Of course, Chiefs have Juju Schuster, and they got a few picks tonight. You don't think they'll select a wide receiver tonight?
They could. You know, a guy like George Pickens is someone they could take. You know, someone that probably would have been taken a lot higher if not for injuries. You know, aside from him, you know, there's always later round guys too. Like with wide receivers, you know, the talent seems to get spread out through the draft. You just have to find your guy. And I don't think they're, you know, I think they're more in a position where they'll take the best players on their board. Like they could still use help in the secondary, and they could, they're, I mean, their pass rush, look, man, they could use, now they're not going to do this. So I'm not suggesting they necessarily should, but they could use four picks just on their defensive line. Because when you look at what they have as far as a pass rush, it's Chris Jones. And I mean, that's it. And they have Joshua Kando, who I think they like, but he was a fourth round pick last year. So it's not like you can't really bank on him being productive, obviously. So there's really no one. I mean, Frank Clark, until he bounces, I mean, he doesn't really provide anything. So you just have to, I still think they're going to try to find another pass rusher. They'll try to find another player in the secondary. And then, yeah, at some point they'll grab a receiver. And, you know, later in the draft, I won't be surprised if they take a running back too.
Definitely another long night tonight and tomorrow for the third round. One receiver I was thinking they were going to go for, of course, they had to trade up because the Detroit Lions got him. Jameson Williams, which he was known as Tyreek Hill Jr. Were you eyeing this guy last night, or you know, didn't think about him much?
No, for me personally, I didn't really like that move and to go after him. And the reason is this. So Chiefs' ultimate downfall, if there's a lot of things that you could say, but I think what I took away from that Bengals second half is that the Chiefs offense became boring. And you have all these like crazy playmakers. You have Hill, Hardman, Kelsey, you know, you have all these guys who can make plays. But Andy got so reliant on just, I have Tyreek Hill, I have Travis Kelsey, that they lost their creativity and they lost their ability to surprise people. I mean, when you have a guy like Eli Apple calling you out and saying that your offense is boring and predictable, I mean, my gosh, that's not good. So my concern is if they would have traded up for Jameson, is that they would just revert right back to that. They would just plug in Jameson where Tyreek Hill played, and they would go right back to being predictable and boring. So and this is maybe me being overly optimistic, I'm just hoping that this will force Andy to go back to the drawing board and be a little bit more creative and not be so predictable. And then, you know, if you do get another receiver that you can develop and grow, you know, you can build him into whatever those plans are.
Being creative, I like that. I think that's something they might have to get away from, the Tyreek Hill type of strategy. Maybe look elsewhere, you know, try to be unpredictable now that the AFC West is more competitive with the addition of Russell Wilson to the Broncos and Devontae Adams to the Raiders. And of course, a stronger Chargers, who they got Zion Johnson, a offensive guard, to protect Justin Herbert. Your thoughts on that pick?
The Chargers offensive line needs some work. So anytime, you know, you want your franchise quarterback to stay upright. And that, I think that was definitely an issue with them the last couple of years. Now, Slater is a stud. I mean, he's awesome. Like, he's going to be one of the best tackles in the NFL. So that was a really good pick for them. And now they just have to continue to build that. So I think anytime you can get a premier offensive lineman to help your quarterback, that's a good thing.
Hypothetically speaking, let's just say Chiefs win the AFC West. Who do you see at number two? I know it's a very, very competitive AFC West. Some say it's in play completely. But let's just say Chiefs are number one. Who do you see at number two at this second?
Maybe the Raiders.
Wow.
I don't necessarily love the Josh McDaniels hire, but the Raiders have some continuity on their roster now, and they got Adams. Derek Carr played the best season of his life last year, and now he has Adams as a go-to guy. So I just look at what the Raiders have done. They've had some consistency, even though they've had a coaching change. They've had roster consistency, and I think that'll pay off for them.
something very, very interesting about the Raiders. I would have said between the Broncos and the Chargers, obviously, with the Chargers, with Herbert having a fantastic season last season. And then the Broncos, the addition of Russell Wilson, I think he needs still probably will probably have to marinate with the Broncos system and everything. They could be number two. Don't get me wrong, but Raiders, I did not see that coming.
Yeah. And I mean, the reality is with AFC West, you could put just about any team in any position because it could just depend on a couple breaks here and there, a couple injuries and different things. But yeah, I mean, look, Russell Wilson's a clear upgrade for the Broncos, but, the Broncos still have some work to do too.
Young team. And hey, Jeff did hint it is in play. So no guarantee for the Chiefs for the past couple of years. Let me look at my notes. New York Jets, which I thought had a fantastic night last night. They got number 4 cornerback Sauce Gardner, and then number 10 wide receiver Gary Wilson, and defensive end Jermaine Johnson. They said last night in their press conference, these three players were in the top 8, and they got them all. Your thoughts over the Jets picks last night?
So getting Sauce and Johnson, I mean, that was a great, great duo because, I mean, now you have your number one corner and you have your number one edge rusher. And that's important in today's NFL because you're going to, you know, just teams chuck it around a lot more now. So you got to have someone that can rush the passer and someone that can cover the other team's number one receiver. So, yeah, I love what the Jets did. And then getting a weapon for Zach Wilson is a big deal too because, I mean, look, I think Zach Wilson could still be a good player and maybe even a really good player, but they need to get him some help. They need to get him a couple weapons. I think the offensive line will actually be okay if it stays healthy this year. I don't know how you could be a Jets fan and not just be stoked about this draft.
Pretty exciting. Looking at that, the AFC East will be tighter for sure. Finishing last, I think it'd be a strong last.
And I mean, I think the Bills are still the class of that division, but the Dolphins are going to be, you know, that depends a lot on Tua, but the Dolphins, I think, will be pretty good. And I really like, you know, the new head coach, Coach Daniels. And at the end of the day, though, you know, Josh Allen is the quarterback of that division. So until the Dolphins upgrade Tua or, obviously the Patriots are going to hold on to Mac Jones. I don't think Mac Jones is going to have the firepower to go head to head with Allen. And Zach Wilson, we'll see. Like, if he develops, then maybe that puts the Jets, you know, in the running to be respectable.
Also last night, not just the picks were huge, but these two trades happened. We'll go with this one first. Hollywood Brown from the Baltimore Ravens, wide receiver Marquise Brown, traded to the Arizona Cardinals. We'll be playing with Kyler Murray and J.J. Watt. Huge trade. What are your thoughts, Jeff, over that?
Well, you know, it's unfortunate because I think Hollywood and Lamar Jackson have a good relationship. You can tell last night Jackson was upset.
He tweeted, but, what the F last night. So
yeah. So
a lot to tell.
The thing there is, like, sometimes guys just don't fit on the football field. Hollywood Brown is a guy that should be trying to catch a lot of vertical routes and beat guys deep. And that's just not Lamar Jackson's game. I'm not saying he can't throw a deep ball at all, but that's not his strength. His strength is not throwing those, you know, sideline deep balls. And I think what the Ravens saw coming with all these receivers getting paid these enormous contracts, and then, you know, they have a quarterback that really isn't ever going to be a wide receiver-centric player. You know, you just can't pay the guy to be a decoy. So get him to Arizona and, just kind of start over at that position. So, yeah, I mean, I get why the Ravens did it. And then from the side of the Cardinals, you know, they do have a guy that throws it down the field a little bit more. And I think it's probably just a better deep ball thrower. So Murray will have an opportunity there, especially with having Hopkins. You know, the Cardinals have some talent out there.
With that pickup of Hollywood Brown to the Cardinals, is that going to shift them some things in the NFC West? Would you see the Cardinals winning that division?
I don't think he moves the needle that much. I mean, it's a good pickup, but still have to think the Rams are still going to be the class. Although they're going to miss some guys, Whitworth, Vaughn, a couple guys they lost. They're not going to be easy to replace. Seattle's just, man, Seattle might win two games. They're going to be rough. But the 49ers are going to be right there too. 49ers still have a great roster. If Trey Lance does take a big step and he ends up being a legitimate quarterback, then the 49ers could actually be kind of scary.
We'll see what happens. NFC West. The other trade last night might be the biggest of the two. The Tennessee traded A.J. Brown to the Philadelphia Eagles last night. Huge pick. Apparently, A.J. Brown said that it wasn't his fault. I guess Tennessee did not have the money to pay him or to keep him. Jeff, what are your thoughts over this trade? Is this massive?
Yeah, I mean, it's great for the Eagles because what the Eagles have done now is they've put Jalen Hurts in a position where, like, look, you get this year to prove you're the guy, and we're going to give you good offensive line, we're going to give you good weapons, and it's either you perform or you don't. And if he doesn't, they have plenty of picks in next year's draft to be able to pick out a quarterback and move up and get whatever quarterback they want. So I really like what the Eagles have done. Like, they've really set themselves up both for right now and for the future. From the Titans' perspective, I mean, man, it really feels you hate to exaggerate, but it feels as though the Titans missed their shot. You know, they had a short glimpse there where you could lean on Henry and just hope that he could get you there. And now, you know, he had the foot injury, which is not forgiving the running backs. You trade Brown. Julio Jones didn't work out, so you release him. And now you have Tannehill, who I think they're paying like $40 or $50 million this year. So to me, it feels like this is the beginning of the end for the Titans, and they're going to have to rebuild. It just feels as though their offense just needs completely rebuilt.
Yeah, Titans definitely they won the AFC last year, home field advantage, but lost against the Cincinnati Bengals. So we'll see with that team. Of course, they still have Coach Mike Vrabel. Derrick Henry is still there, but the receiver end a little bit more light. They do got Robert Woods, but, you know, probably a little past his prime a bit. Not saying much. And, of course, they got Austin Hooper. So we'll see where this Tennessee team goes, and their division's pretty weak. That was stronger Colts with Matt Ryan, but that's a different podcast to talk about. Anyways, let's look at the other picks. Jaguars got Trayvon Walker, defensive end. Lions got Aiden Hutchinson, and Texans got Stingley Jr., cornerback. Jeff, what are your thoughts over these top three picks?
I mean, I think each team just kind of took, you know, whoever they thought the best player remaining was, which when you're picking that high is probably the right thing to do because you just need to completely rebuild your roster. I like Walker. I mean, I think Walker might start slow. I don't know that he's a completely refined product, but he has that mega potential. So he was probably my favorite, you know, he's probably my favorite player in the draft, really. He might have
and moved up in the mocks these past couple of weeks. So good for him.
Yeah. And I mean, I think teams see the potential of what he could be, you know, I mean, he could be a premier pass rusher.
Yeah. Two defensive ends in the first two picks. Jeff, another topic I want to bring up. Only one quarterback was selected the whole first round last night. It could have been up to three, but one was selected. Of course, Malik Willis was, and a lot of mocks were predicted to go to the Steelers, but they chose Pickett, who they say he's ready to play today. What are your thoughts over that?
Well, yeah, I mean, you could play him today, but it's not going to be pretty if you do. You know, Well, I mean, it's just not a good quarterback class. I mean, I don't know how else you really break it down. It's just not a good quarterback class. So you take a guy that you just hope it works out. So it feels as though the Steelers got caught up in like the local kid, local story thing a little bit. I mean, obviously I can't see the future. Maybe he turns into a good player. You never know for sure. But yeah, I mean, it kind of feels like a hope and a prayer because the Steelers, you know, they went out and got Trubisky. The Steelers are always going to play to win no matter what. So it feels as though they're trying to stack the deck and like, you know, they get Trubisky, then they still use their first round pick on a quarterback. They're just doing everything they can to figure out that position now that Roethlisberger's gone.
Yeah, which puts Mason Rudolph in a little bit cornered a bit. So we don't know; he might become that QB3 potentially.
Yeah, either QB3 or maybe he doesn't even end up on the roster. You know, it's hard to say.
Quiet possibility, but hey, the Steelers. Mike Tomlin said last night, "Hey, we looked local," which Kenny Pickett is from Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Himself. Yeah, this AFC North, I was talking about it last night with the crew, and you know, it is kind of open in a way. I mean, you could say the Bengals might take it again. But hey, Pittsburgh could be number two, but then you got the Ravens and then the Browns, who knows? But it's quite a shuffle in the AFC North, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean quarterback wise, if you look at the quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson and Joe Burrow. And Lamar Jackson, the Steelers, 3 years ago would have said, we're going to win the division because we have the best quarterback. And now the Steelers are going to have a disadvantage at quarterback in every division game that they play. So ultimately, that's going to be tough. But the thing is, the Steelers will always play their division games tough. Even though they will have a disadvantage at quarterback, those games are always hard fought. So, yeah, I mean, the AFC North is just going to be really a slugfest.
Who do you see starting for the Steelers? We'll see. Well, you know, for next season, we'll be, you know, maybe a couple games with Trubisky, then Pickett, or what's your prediction there?
Yeah, I mean, I could see I think Trubisky will start until he plays poorly, and then, you know, the Steelers will feel the pressure to play Pickett once Trubisky starts playing poorly. That would be my best guess. I mean, maybe like 6 or 8 games in would be where I would think it'll happen.
Well, there you have it. First round last night was great. Excellent. A lot of holes to be filled. Another standout Giants. They got Kayvon Thibodeau and offensive tackle Evan Neal. And also yesterday, Giants I think they didn't franchise tag Daniel Jones, right? Is that – or renew –
They declined his fifth-year option.
I was going to say that. What are your thoughts over the Giants' moves yesterday?
Yeah, so, I mean, I like the pick because they just took they took great talents. And, again, when you're starting from the ground up, that's what you have to do. Not exercising Jones' option makes sense. I mean, you give him one more year to see, like, does he make any kind of a leap or a jump? And if not, again, they're another team that'll – you know, next year be in the running for a quarterback now it's really, really early, but I think most people would say next year's quarterback class will at least be a little bit better than this year's.
Yeah. General manager of the Giants, Joe Shane, making his first couple of moves yesterday, looking good. The future looks looking good for the Giants. So we'll see what happens in the NFC East, which is kind of open, but for now the Cowboys are in that top slot, if you ask me today. All right. Well, there you have it. Tonight is round two mixed with round three. So we'll see more picks. We'll see probably more quarterbacks getting selected tonight. And Malik Willis is up in the air, Liberty alum. And, of course, the Chiefs have pick number 50. And they have a couple, I know. 50, 62, and then for the second round, and then a little bit later. So – as Jeff says, he'll expect more picks tonight and see what happens to fill these roster spots. A couple teams have not selected at all, like the Dolphins and I believe
the Broncos.
Broncos haven't selected. So Jeff will be eyeing on that because I know in the same division. So you definitely want to see what your opponent is going to be selecting, and we'll see what happens. Yeah, it's going to be Broncos, Cardinals, Browns, Bucks, Bears, Miami, 49ers, Colts, Raiders, and Rams. So it should be an exciting night, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Well, there you have it. Anyways, Jeff, any closing words of this draft, and what's the best way to reach you?
Best way to follow along is at JT Fulver on Twitter. And yeah, I'm just excited to see how everything unfolds. Because now, once the draft is over, then we have a little bit of a dead spot until we get through the summer here.
You hit it, by the way. It is a dead spot after the draft. It dips. Like, after the Super Bowl gets into the free agency, the combine, the draft, and after the draft is just boom, dips. So,
yeah, that's right. I'll go fishing. So, that's okay.
Exactly. And of course, you got the Hall of Fame game, which, oh my gosh, I never get excited for those games.
No. There's very little involved there.
Even preseason, which I'm glad they cut it down to 3.
Yeah, I mean, at least preseason has some value to it, at least.
Get to see who you have, what you got, and your talent, and see what happens. Have you been watching the USFL lately?
No, I have not.
It's tough to catch on. Anyways, you can follow us on thesportscast.net or on our Twitter, thesportscast1. We'll have a long weekend with the NFL draft in Vegas. So far, a great place to host the draft. And, of course, the NBA playoffs, which is still in swing. Miami will play the Sixers, of course, and then some other series hasn't been closed out. Anyways, Jeff, I appreciate you coming on this lovely Friday afternoon.
All right. Thanks for having me, Salty. I'll go.
And this was your